competencies. So I'm talking about exactly the same wellness competency that Lisa already reviewed with you, which was about half my presentation. So I'm very grateful she also passed this out to you. I hope you all do take a look at this, the list of the objectives from the competency that were published this year in February. We have a competency-based curriculum at LACC, and we've had it since 1990. And we took many of the competencies, clinical competencies, from the CCE at that time. We've added more as we've gone through the years. We now have 24 clinical competencies. I believe CCE has something like 19 or so. So almost all the same. And that's what we've been driven by in our curriculum since that time. We added the wellness competencies 6 years ago when we went through a curriculum revision, and we came up with our own objectives at that time. And then Maridel Gatterman is the one who petitioned CCE to add this as an official competency in 2005. This is the quotation. I know there was some discussion. What is wellness? Okay, I'm going with Maridel on this one. And that's the name of my team. Okay. The point is, we have been in the same boat. We've been talking about wellness as a competency and asking how do we teach that and how do we make sure our students are learning that, and then ultimately, how are we applying that in our healthcare system, our clinical practice, and how do we know that our students and our, when they become practitioners, will be doing the same. Those are the tricks. Those are the final outcomes that we need to still follow on. So, as Lisa presented to you, you have the list of all the objectives in the wellness competency. As you note from her handout, there are three parts to it. There are attitudes, and there are seven of those. There's the knowledge area, and there are nine of those, and then there's the skills area, and there are five of those. So what we have done is to look at all of these and to see whether they match up with our objectives in our courses, that are in our curriculum that we have developed over time. There they all are again. And we're also, as Lisa already mentioned as well, and others, these are all closely related to the Healthy People 2010 leading health indicators, and so there's a close tie-in with these as more practical basis. So our purpose was to find out, were we in compliance with the CCE directive to add this competency? Were we smart enough, 7 years ago, to write the right objectives that match up with what Gatterman and others put together, and now we're being held to? And where are we doing this in our curriculum? So we reviewed all of our courses. I had a team of people working with me. If you don't know who I am, that's okay, because I'm wondering myself from time to time. But I actually am a basic scientist who became a chiropractor, unlike most of you that I've met over the years. Started out as chiropractors and then have become all sorts of things. So my roots are in basic science. And so I can comment on some of the things Lisa said about that too. Anyway, that's my root. It's more of a, believe it or not, a research kind of background. So anyway, we reviewed all of our course objectives and all of our courses to see whether they would match up with the ones on the CCE competency. We actually talked to other members of the faculty to see what they thought, whether they were actually teaching what it said in their syllabi, and we also asked them how they were doing it and whether they were evaluating their students about these things and how they were doing those evaluations. These are the kinds of courses and subject matter where we found the objectives and the teaching methods and so on. So, believe it or not, even in our basic science courses like anatomy and physiology, I myself teach anatomy and physiology, and our biochemistry course, our nutrition courses. I believe most of the colleges, if not all of them, have a kind of a basic nutrition course and then a clinical nutrition course. And the clinical nutrition course is more about doing actual measurements on patients and what kinds of measurements would be done, like the 5-day diet analysis. And then, hopefully, they would still apply this knowledge and the methods of assessment to their patients once they get into the health centers. But they are at least introduced in the nutrition courses to basic knowledge and also to the assessment tools. Even in our pharmacology course and pathology courses, there's some of the objectives relating to the competencies, to this competency. The community health course we have is the primary course that provides the knowledge, as probably true for all the other chiropractic colleges. And I know there was a consortium several years ago. This was presented at ACC-RAC, getting the schools together to talk about what they're presenting and really bringing in the focus of the Healthy People 2010 into the curricula. And Lisa mentioned this as well in her previous talk. And that's the challenge for us, as I'm sure for other schools, is how do you actually implement that, not just from a knowledge point of view in the community health course, but actually in the application. In our principles courses, we also talk about health in general and wellness and promotion of health more from an attitudinal point of view and the sociological and legal issues surrounding those things. And also in our scientific basis course, talking about the basis for chiropractic therapy. And then the real kicker, of course, is what do we actually apply? So this is what we found out about looking at our various courses, where we teach these different objectives within the existing competency. But especially in our nutrition courses and our community health course, we teach a lot about these things, some in our principles courses and some in our scientific basis course. And really the application, at least on paper, is supposed to be in the internship. Similarly, we found knowledge is being met, the objectives on knowledge are being met in a lot of our basic science courses, but especially again in the nutrition courses and community health course. And finally, the skills area, those things were met especially in the nutrition and community health course. And they're supposed to be actually applied to patients in our internship experience. So here's a combination of where we see the attitudes, the knowledge, and the skills objectives that are on the list in the competency. And you can see most of the knowledge base comes in the basic science areas, and then the attitudes more in the community health, nutrition, and principles courses. And the actual skills are learned in the nutrition and the community health course, where they talk about screening methods. And ultimately, all these are supposed to be applied, on paper anyway, in the internship. And this shows you sort of the overall, through our 10-trimester system, where the students are supposed to be taught about these different areas. So more of the knowledge at the beginning, as you might guess, some of the skills in the middle, and then attitudes kind of all along the way. These are the kinds of teaching methods we've been using and have used. So some of their basic things like lecturing and skills labs, where they learn how to do the assessments. We also have case-based discussions about patient-based situations, and of course in our internships we provide supervised patient care. Our evaluation instruments are these. So we do use unfolding cases that you probably have seen applied as well, where the student is given the history information first and then the physical exam findings and then any special studies, and is asked along the way to come up with differential diagnosis and then tests that they would perform and so on to lead to the treatment plan or the actual treatment. We also have used simulated patients now for over 15 years to to model that same sort of unfolding case, but with an actor. Mm-hmm. And we are from Southern California. That's where we exist. So I have a cough from all the smoke. It was great. But we have a lot of actors, too. Mm-hmm. So that makes it fun to give our students simulated patients. A lot of unemployed actors who work for $15 an hour. And the real payoff, of course, is the clinical performance. Are they really applying these things and really getting outcomes and seeing differences in patients, which relates to some of the discussion that's happened before, too. So that's really where we are now in sort of figuring out that we are meeting the competency. At least we're teaching the knowledge and the skills and the attitudes, but this is not really paying off in that clinic setting yet. So we're looking at ways that we can promote this competency in our health center experience. We do ask health questionnaires, have questionnaires for our patient that we randomly or sort of use for our patients. We do ask our seventh-term interns to prepare health brochures on some of the health issues that are typical, like smoking cessation or obesity and so on that some of you have talked about. So we do ask our students to do that at the beginning of their internship experience. But we really want to develop wellness plans for all of our patients, all of our employees actually, talking about walking the walk, talking the talk. In Southern California, we have no rain. We have three seasons, you know, sort of earth, wind, and fire. And so we really do need wellness plans for all of our patients and all of our employees and pretty much everybody who lives in the area. So that would be the ultimate goal. So we feel we are meeting the objective at this time. We are addressing these objectives in the wellness competency, at least in terms of teaching the students these things. We need to modify our teaching methods to determine whether the students are actually learning these things. This is a directive from WASC and other accrediting agencies, if you're paying attention. And we need to certainly develop more of a clinical experience in this area. So that's where we're going next. These are my other colleagues who are also, Dr. Ayad is another basic science. He teaches our community health course. Dr. Hooper has been teaching in principles for many years at our school. Dr. Rose is one of our clinicians. So I'm the president of the Faculty Senate. When I ask them to do something, they still don't do it necessarily.